content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with a couple of articles from AARP, the magazine. And let's start with products we still love. This is one we started last time, and let's go a little further today. How about Jean Le Carré, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy? In the novel, Le Carré popularized the spy term mole and inverted others like honey trap, which then continued as real terms used in the espionage community, as in that honey trap has a mole in the strangest place. And then culture-shaping launches. High Times, the magazine on all things marijuana, was a truly blazing success. And Dungeons & Dragons, Nerd Alert, players include Stephen Colbert, Vin Diesel, Patton Oswalt, Drew Barrymore, Aubrey Plaza, and Elon Musk. Then we have Great Adventure. 3 years after a Warner Brothers scion built this amusement park in New Jersey, it was bought by Texas Six Flags. The Six Flags represent the nations that once governed Texas. And then we have People, the magazine, was a spinoff of Time magazine's celebrity-focused People page, which was written in the late 1990s by yours truly, Joel Stein. Then we have Tommy John surgery. Following his innovative ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction, John pitched until he was the oldest player in the league, tying the record for most seasons in the game. At least one in four major league pitchers now has this surgery. Then we have beginnings. Jimmy Fallon, as a kid, he and his sister Gloria would act out Saturday Night Live sketches with friends. Amy Adams, an army brat, she was born to American parents in Vicenza, Italy. Her mom was a semi-professional bodybuilder. Her dad was a nightclub singer. Mahershala, all his mom and maternal grandmother were Baptist ministers. He converted to Islam. His father won $2,500 dancing on Soul Train. Leonardo DiCaprio, when he was one, his parents separated. They moved next door to each other in Los Angeles in order to raise him. And in sports, Rumble in the Jungle is most watched sporting event. Muhammad Ali debuted his rope-a-dope tactic in Zaire to beat the favored George Foreman by a knockout. Hank Aaron breaks Babe Ruth's home run record after ending the 1973 baseball season with one homer shy of Ruth's lifetime record. Aaron received so many racist death threats that the Atlanta Constitution pre-wrote his obituary. Undaunted, he finished the job the following year, tying and then surpassing Ruth. The Miami Dolphins win second of back-to-back Super Bowls. Larry Sganza carried the ball 33 times, ensuring that we all actually learned to pronounce his name. Oops, I hope I did that right. Lou Brock breaks season record for stolen bases. He also makes the umbrella hat, the Brockabella, a hit. Frank Robinson becomes MLB's first black manager. In his very first at-bat at Cleveland's player manager, he hit a home run. Evel Knievel tries to jump the Snake River Canyon. In Idaho, he does not succeed, though he survives. In 2016, stuntman Eddie Braun makes the jump successfully in a replica of the rocket Knievel used. Endings. Monty Python's Flying Circus. As the show ended in the UK, PBS started airing it here, in the land of lumberjacks. Duke Ellington, his son Mercer, continued to lead the orchestra until he died in 1996. The group won a Grammy in 1988. Mama Cass Elliott, born Ellen Naomi Cohen, the singer from the Mamas and the Papas, died at 32. and musician Harry Nilsson's apartment. And finally, Ed Sullivan, his weekly variety show, which debuted in 1948, had been canceled 3 years earlier as part of CBS's Rural Plunge. Oh, Purge. Now, from this issue of the magazine, we had started an article, Dodge Your Biggest Health Risks. Here are the deadliest threats to people in their 70s and how to keep them from catching up with you. Well, I would hope they would apply to 80s as well, or other ages. COVID-19 and other respiratory illnesses. COVID is a real killer, but don't ignore flu and pneumonia risk. Between the ages of 65 and 74, your chance of dying from a respiratory disease like COVID, pneumonia, or influenza is 6 times higher than for those in their 40s, according to recent CDC statistics. And it's not because viruses are getting stronger, it's because your lungs and immune system are getting weaker. Everything your lungs have endured and overcome for the past 70 years has made them incrementally weaker, says Paul Thomas, an immunologist at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And with age, the muscles surrounding your lungs weaken and your rib cage stiffens, which makes it less able to easily expand and contract as we breathe, says James Nestor, author of Breath, the New Science of a Lost Art. Meanwhile, with age, our immune cells become less capable of recognizing the difference between a life-threatening infection and something minor. So, viruses are able to slip through unnoticed. 1. Practice slow breathing through your nose. When you're breathing through the mouth, you're exposing yourself to everything in the air, says Nestor. By breathing through your nose, you not only filter out that junk, you also wind up taking slower and deeper breaths, which sends signals to your nervous system to calm down. Nestor recommends inhaling to the count of 6 and then exhaling at the same leisurely 6-count pace, which gives your body more time to access the oxygen you inhale. Studies have found that deep breathing exercises can protect lungs from infection and decrease stress and depression. 2. Get vaccinated. I'm smiling here because there's a picture with this article, and this gentleman is sitting with his arms, with his legs crossed, and he's saying, I am breathing in, 1, 2, 3. I am breathing out, 1, 2, 3. And there's 2 cats purring, and his lungs, a picture of his lungs going, om. So, moving on. You should get vaccinated. Every respiratory infection you've ever had in your life has left its mark. The fewer infections you get going forward, the healthier your lungs will be in the years to come. And it's not just the frequency of infections, but their ferocity that matters. Even if you do wind up getting infected with the vaccine, you've got more T-cell players on the bench to come in and help, so you don't get as sick, says Thomas. To help prevent respiratory infections, those over 60 should discuss influenza, COVID, pneumonia, pertussis, and respiratory syncytial disease, RSV, vaccines with their doctors. Sit up straight. Spending hours slouched over the computer means that we're not regularly stretching the ligaments in our rib cage, reducing our lung function. To correct this, Nestor recommends the rib stretch. Gently inhale as much air as you can through your nose, and then hold your breath for 10 to 20 seconds, or however long you're comfortable. Repeat at least 3 times per day. Invest in an air filter. An air filter, even a portable one, can filter at least 99.5% of harmful products from the air. Some studies suggest it might reduce the transmission of COVID. Look for devices that use HEPA, H-E-P-A, filters with a MERV, M-E-R-V, rating of 17 or higher, the most efficient at removing small particles from the air. And 5, get at least 800 IUs of vitamin D every day. Research has shown that vitamin D is vital to healthy immunity and may reduce deadly inflammation in severe COVID-19 cases. Adults in their 70s should get a minimum of 800 IU or 20 micrograms of vitamin D a day, according to RDA guidelines. It's hard to get enough vitamin D from food alone, so talk to your doctor about whether a supplement makes sense for you. And there's a little sidebar here, survival tip, set work boundaries. A 2023 study found that a healthy work-life balance reduces cardiometabolic risk in older employees and those with existing risk factors to the level of someone 5 to 10 years younger. Next, we have stroke. This is risk number 4. 8 in 10 strokes are preventable. Here's how to protect yourself. Every 40 seconds, someone in the U.S. has a stroke, and around two-thirds of those who do are over the age of 65. The good news, around 80% of all strokes are preventable, according to the CDC, and it's not just about recognizing the FAST, F-A-S-T, warning signs of a stroke: face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, time to call 911. It begins with preventative measures, says J. David Spence, M.D., director of the Stroke Prevention Center at the Robarts Research Institute in London, Ontario. 1. Monitor your vitals. Blood pressure is the leading risk factor for strokes, says Nyaka Goldberg, M.D., medical director of Atria New York City, a healthcare organization. If your blood pressure only gets checked during your annual exam, it may be time to rethink that. And it's not just about buying a home monitor or making regular visits to your local pharmacy's blood pressure work kiosk. It's important to create an environment that promotes accuracy, says Thomas Holland, MD. This includes taking your blood pressure at consistent times each day, such as every morning, and recording the readings. This helps you and your doctor see the trends in your blood pressure and better determine if any interventions are needed. He also suggests emptying your bladder and avoiding caffeine for at least 30 minutes before a reading. Recent research suggests that lying down could provide a better BP measurement. Atrial fibrillation, or AFib, an irregular or rapid heartbeat, which affects 10% of people over 80, could make you 5 times more likely to have a stroke, according to some researchers. Holland suggests investing in a smartwatch equipped with heart rate monitoring technology, which he says can provide valuable data for your primary care physician or cardiologists. Then number 2, B vitamin savvy. A B vitamin deficiency can dramatically increase your odds of suffering from a cerebral vascular event or stroke, mostly because of the vitamin's role in reducing the levels of an amino acid that increases blood clotting and is harmful to the arteries. Discuss taking a supplement with your doctor. Science suggests a natural B12 supplement rather than a synthetic, particularly in people with impaired kidney function. But, says Spence, diet is far more important than most people think. Number 3, grab a wall. British researchers looked at which exercises were the most effective for people with hypertension and found the greatest health benefits came from some isometric or static hold exercises, like wall squats, said Jamie Edwards, a researcher at Canterbury Christ Church University and the study's lead author. To do them, put your back against a wall and slowly lower your body until your thighs are parallel to the floor. Then hold the position for as long as you can. When you clench your muscles like this without moving, it compresses the blood vessels. When you release that pressure and the blood comes rushing back, the vessels widen and dilate. It's different from other modes of exercise, like running or weightlifting. Edwards recommends trying for 4 2-minute squats with 2 minutes of rest between them. This should be performed 3 times a week or for 4 weeks to produce any changes at all, he said. 4, daily baby aspirin? Nope. Low-dose aspirin inhibits the enzymes that lead to clot formation, but it also increases the risk of bleeding, and that can be life-threatening for people who are prone to falling. It's a serious enough risk that the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force rescinded its previous recommendation for low-dose aspirin, advising that it not be prescribed for preventing a first heart attack or stroke in otherwise healthy older adults. If you're considering taking a daily baby aspirin, or you already do, talk with your primary care physician or cardiologist about what's best. And the survival tip on this one, turn off the TV. Sedentary behavior is bad for our hearts, but research has shown that watching TV is more harmful than, say, sitting at the computer or reading the paper. And we'll finish that one up next time. Now let's look at Fraud Watch from AARP The Bulletin. I never thought I could be scammed until I was. Cyber crooks fooled me. Here's how not to be next. I was at my desk checking email and saw a fraud alert from PayPal. I skimmed the message below the familiar logo. Here's your invoice. Due on receipt, $1,069.69. I hovered my cursor over the sender's address to see if it matched the display name. It appeared authentic. service@paypal.com. Still, I knew not to click through the email itself and instead logged directly into my PayPal account. There it was, an invoice from a company I had never heard of. My heart began racing, and my adrenal fueled panic. I made a huge mistake. I returned to the email, which I now trusted, saw the line that said, "Don't recognize this invoice," and called the number for reporting fraudulent charges listed underneath. That's when the trap was sprung. The man who answered my call said he would help me after verifying my identity. Like the perfect mark, I dutifully gave him my email address along with the code PayPal, then texted to my mobile phone. "Someone in Miami is trying to purchase an iPhone with your PayPal account," he said. "Your financial information and credit cards have all been compromised." Suddenly, I realized what I had done. I had called the number on an unsolicited email, and the man I was talking to was a crook, trying to draw more information from me. I hung up and tried to log back into PayPal, but the scammer had already changed my password using the code I had provided. Requesting another code to my phone, I was able to access my account. By then, he had sent 26 more invoices to PayPal for bogus services totaling more than $20,000. With shaking hands, I called the customer service number on PayPal's website. A representative promptly locked down my account, emailed password reset links, confirmed my contact information, and walked me through canceling each fraudulent payment request. Luckily, I had acted quickly and reached a real agent on time. Had I hesitated, the scammer could have changed the mobile number on my account and locked me out while approving fake charges. I would have had to work through my PayPal, my bank, and credit card companies to recoup the money. Aside from my rattled nerves, I was unscathed. My money hadn't left my account, and after a brief review of the original invoice, PayPal closed the case in my favor. Until this, I had prided myself on being wise to phishing scams. I know to check a sender's email address and not to click links. I delete all texts from unknown numbers and go directly to the source whenever I'm notified of problems on my accounts. But this criminal tricked me into responding by alerting me to his own fraudulent activity. Along with spoofing the sender's domain to appear as a trusted source, there was a new level of deception. Darius Kingsley, head of consumer banking practices at Chase Bank, says scammers even use AI, artificial intelligence, to replicate the voice of a loved one in trouble. They can also spoof a contact's phone number so it looks like a friend or family member is calling, making the scam believable, he says. McAfee's Global Scam Message Study, released late last year, cited a huge uptick in scams. A key finding? People receive average of nearly 12 fake messages or scams per day via email, text, or social media. Roma Majumber, a senior vice president at McAfee, says scam artists wait for people to take security shortcuts for speed or convenience and then take advantage. Advanced technology has made it even easier for cyber criminals, she said, but companies are using that technology to try to stay ahead. For example, Scott Knapp, director of worldwide buyer risk prevention for Amazon, says a passkey, a newer two-factor authentication method, is more secure than a password. It creates an encrypted connection between a website or app and your device using the same biometrics you would use to unlock your device, such as a fingerprint or a face ID. Companies work constantly to outsmart scammers. Last year, we took down over 40,000 phishing sites and over 10,000 fraudulent phone numbers, Knapp says. So reporting can make a real difference. Now, the sidebar article with this is, if you're scammed, immediately call and report the scam to the appropriate bank, credit card company, or website. Always get the phone number from your bank card or the website. Never from an email, text, or search results, which can be fake. Contact one of the three credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion, to add a fraud alert and help prevent identity theft. An alert to one will alert the others. Update your password and verify your personal information. Precautions for all. Use two-factor or multi-factor authentication to log in to all accounts. Set up real-time notifications for any financial account activity. Now, last time we talked about some nutritional things and your health. We have a sidebar article that I didn't get to last time called Culture Club. Fermented foods are packed with gut-healthy microbes, but many of them, think sauerkraut, kimchi, and kefir, aren't the kind of thing most of us eat every day. The exception is yogurt. Most yogurts deliver plenty of protein and bone-healthy calcium as well, says Grace DeRocha, spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Look for words like live active cultures, sometimes abbreviated as LAC, and keep an eye on the sugar content. Here's how the different types stack up. Plain dairy. Dairy products made by the fermenting skim or whole milk with live bacteria cultures. Nutritional value, high in calcium to support bone health, fewer calories than Greek, 140 per one cup of non-fat yogurt, and flavored yogurts have added sugar. Who should avoid these? Those who are sensitive to lactose, the natural sugar found in dairy. Fruit on the bottom. A dairy product can be Greek or plain on top of a layer of sugary mashed fruit, such as strawberries or cherries. It's high in sugar and calories. And you shouldn't do it if you have diabetes or are watching your sugar intake. Greek yogurt. Dairy products strained to remove excess liquid, resulting in thick consistency and tangy flavor. It's high in protein, about 18 grams per cup, to support digestion, weight loss, and heart health. It's low in sugar. But you should not consume it if you are lactose intolerant. Skyr, S-K-Y-R. Strained Icelandic dairy product that's especially thick with an extra tart flavor. Highest in protein, 25 grams per cup, vitamins and minerals, low in sugar, carbs, fat, and calories. But you should avoid it if you are lactose intolerant, those who don't enjoy tartness. Goat milk, cultured non-dairy product that's more savory and less sweet, with a creamy texture and tart flavor. It's high in calcium and protein and can be easier to digest than dairy yogurt. But you shouldn't eat it if you don't enjoy tartness or are sensitive to lactose. Plant-based. Vegan yogurt made from almonds, soy, coconut, peas, oats, or cashews with live active cultures. They're a good source of probiotics for those who are lactose intolerant, but have added sugar and little protein. And you should avoid it if you are looking for a protein boost. Now, with our remaining time, let's take a quick look at drugstore savings from AARP, the Bulletin. How much less should house brands cost? Buying store brands is the easiest way to save on pain relievers, cotton swabs, and other drugstore staples. And most of us are making the switch. Sales of private label products surged to a record of $236 billion last year. But habits can be hard to break. I'm unreasonably loyal to several famous name brands. So I wondered, how much could I save with private label products? My conclusion, from comparison shopping for dozens of items, buying store brand products with the same or similar ingredients as name brands, could save me or you hundreds of dollars a year. Don't worry that prices are lower because quality is lower. All over-the-counter drugs have to meet the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's standards for quality, effectiveness, and safety. That's true for generics as well as name brand versions. In an unscientific experiment I conducted in February in the New York metro area, I found that the price gap between big brands and comparable store brands at the three chains I checked varied dramatically from 1% to 75%. Store brand products were often one-third to one-half cheaper than the national brands. Among the products I checked, Walmart offered the biggest incentive to switch to its store brand. Equate savings were 70% or more over comparable big-name products sold at the chain. Equate was also significantly cheaper than the other store brands I checked. Here's a sample of some of the biggest savings I found in each store. Of course, coupons and sales can change the math, but bring your reading glasses and check out the fine print. If the deal requires you to buy more than one item, it may not be worth it if you're not going to use up the product before its expiration date. Well, folks, we have reached the end of the time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. To be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.